back from mid-session recess last week, now in the second half of session with now 7 weeks left, and this week spent one of the biggest bills of the year, possibly took quite possibly the smallest amount of time for a perfection vote on Wednesday.
It in fact did. The very large and very complicated tax reform bill. I don't remember the number of pages in that bill, but it is significant. A lot of that is because of the streamlined sales tax, and some of that can change with the Quill opinion that the Supreme Court will be issuing. I won't get into the Quill opinion, but some folks are probably already familiar with that and the concerns that it has in terms of whether or not state sales taxes can be collected on companies that don't live in the state. But that was a very complicated bill. Senator Igel worked very hard with the senators to try to address concerns. It was a surprise. I was actually off the floor at the time thinking that there would be a long debate, and we were working on another bill that is also pretty complex, the one to try to address 911 service across the state, whenever we heard on the monitor that they had perfected the bill. I was happy with the bill as it was, but I do think that it's got a lot of good things in it. I think it'll be good for Missourians. One of the things that's in there is an increase in the road tax, the taxes that support our roads. The one concern I've had through the years is that if we were going to increase the tax on fuel, that we in fact reduce taxes somewhere else, that it became what we call revenue neutral, so we weren't adding to the tax burden of Missouri citizens. I am told by the bill sponsor that with the changes that were made in the bill, I think now it ends up over 4 years raising the fuel excise tax by 8 cents per gallon. It is still revenue neutral because of the other changes that are happening in the conformance with the bill as it's written. I'm satisfied that if that's the case, that I can support that. I just wasn't happy in prior versions that either didn't go to a vote of the people if it was going to be an actual increase in taxes, or was revenue neutral by reducing some taxes. Usually it was income taxes that we tried to reduce to balance any increase in fuel taxes. So that was a surprise, and I'm pleased that it's passed, and I'm pleased that we'll be able to send that hopefully to the House right away, and we'll see what the House does with it.
I know also for you, you've been spending a lot of time working on utility regulations, and there have been a lot of questions, not just from your fellow lawmakers, from everybody who's hearing about Senate Bill 546 that's moving its way through the process, as is a House bill of similar writing right now.
Right. The House bill is 2265. The Senate bill was 564, and it is in the Rules Committee in the House right now. It's been passed out of their Utilities Committee and is in Rules. One of the differences in the two bills is that the House bill has what we call a smart meter opt-out that would permit a customer to say, I don't want a smart meter, I want to stay with a meter that doesn't communicate, that it simply reads the electricity and reports and can be read by a technician. Some of the movement has created confusion. Last year's bill, Senate Bill 190, had an opt-out in it. This year, we had stripped the bill down considerably. We'd cut it down to less than half the number of pages that last year's bill held. And one of those changes was we removed the specified opt-out provision. We removed that for a number of reasons. One, to simplify the bill. The other is because the two largest utilities, KCP&L and Ameren, have opt-out provisions in the tariffs, the most recent tariffs issued by the Public Service Commission. That is already available to them. There is still concern from some quarters that we need to specify that. So we're actually drafting language now to try to attach to another bill that would give a specific opt-out provision. I personally don't know that that's necessary, but there seems to be a lot of concern that maybe it won't be made available. So we're trying to come up with language that will accommodate those concerns. There's also concern with the House bill because the House bill does cap the opt-outs at 2%. There's concern that that's not going to be enough. Information from Illinois would suggest that it probably is enough, but I understand those concerns. In Illinois, they have about 1.2 million customers, roughly the same as what Ameren has in Missouri. They have changed meters or offered smart meters to about half of that population, so roughly 600,000 or 700,000 people. Of those, 800 people have chosen to opt out. So the percentage is very small in Illinois. However, the tariffs that are currently in place, the price schedules that the Public Service Commission has issued, along with opt-outs, have no limits. So the main concern there that I would say would be an accurate concern is that currently there's no limit on how many people can opt out of smart smart meters. The House bill limits it to 2%. If we're able to draft language and attach it to a bill and pass it as an opt-out language, there will be no limit on that language. So we're trying to address those. I've also done even more investigation into smart meters and the alternatives to smart meters. One of the concerns that was given to me is if they choose not to use a smart meter, they still get a digital meter. That is probably true because there are no more analog readout meters that are being produced or even maintained. There may be still a few out there that haven't been replaced, but any new non-communicative meters, what we can call a dumb meter, have digital readouts. So they probably look pretty much like a smart meter. They just do not communicate anything. They don't collect any data, nor do smart meters collect any data. They simply transmit in two directions instead of just one. So there are a lot of subtleties and, I guess, technical differences in meters, but fundamentally there are two options available to people. One is to get the smart meter, which opens up a number of possibilities for managing their electricity eventually. The other is what you could call a dumb meter, which doesn't communicate. It requires a technician to come out monthly and read it. And so in the Public Service Commission's description of the opt-out provision, they have also issued charges that they felt were appropriate for servicing those dumb meters. We're still working on that arena. We're still trying to satisfy the concerns that people have and make sure that we examine everyone. I'm pleased with the direction that's going. I'm also happy to try to attach that amendment somewhere.